Your name?
Ed Lazier.
Your organization?
DC Fiscal Policy Institute.
The DC Fiscal Policy Institute takes a close examination of the district's financial situation, and we're in interesting times, Ed Lazier, and coming up on the mayor transmitting the budget. I wonder if you could paint the picture of where we're at right now.
Sure. So the city's finances are still reeling from the recession. Our revenues for 2012, even though we got a recent forecast saying they're going up a little bit, those revenues are still going to be $500 million lower than they were 5 years ago. So we're still facing serious budget problems. And when Mayor Gray sat down to look at how much revenue the city was going to collect versus sort of the cost of maintaining services, he found a gap of over $300 million. And that has to be resolved by April 1st. And the question is, how much will he cut services and how much will he raise taxes to get to a balanced budget and to get rid of that $300 million shortfall?
DC Fiscal Policy Institute has some suggestions for how the city might go about scaling back the proposed, what maybe end up being cuts in basic services, right, as opposed to looking for other sources of revenue that are available.
Right. I mean, we know that the city has already made substantial cuts in services that affect all DC residents, but particularly low-income residents at a time when unemployment is still at a record high level. So we're concerned about what those mean for family stability. We know, for example, that the city is closing its largest shelter for homeless families with children starting April 1st. And those are cuts that concern us because obviously they affect families directly and they affect the long-term health of the city too. If kids are not going to do well, they're not going to in school, they're not going to learn if they are homeless. So we think that it would make sense to take a more balanced approach, and rather than just cutting services, to do a mixture of income tax increases and other tax increases in addition to spending cuts. And in particular, we want the city to finish the action that it started 2 years ago to close corporate tax shelters that allow big corporations to get off and not pay taxes to the district.
And you're discussing something called combined reporting,
right,
which some people might be hearing about for the first time. What is combined reporting?
Well, combined reporting closes tax shelters because right now a corporation like Toys R Us can have its individual stores send most of their profits to a Delaware corporation that holds the Toys R Us logo. So the stores will send a royalty payment to the logo corporation, which isn't really a corporation in Delaware. So they've shifted their profits out of the stores to this logo corporation in Delaware where there's no corporate income tax. So it's a really clear example of how corporations can create entities, sub-entities, and move their profits around to places that don't have a corporate income tax. So under combined reporting, Toys R Us would have to file as a combined entity. They wouldn't be able to use this logo company as a separate entity. And if you file as a combined entity, you can't hide your profits as easily. And so that's what combined reporting means. It means that every corporation has to file their income taxes as one entity and not a bunch of smaller entities that's shifting their profits around.
Does the DC Council need to take a vote on this?
To be honest, that's not entirely clear. I actually think the CFO could administratively move ahead on combined reporting because the council passed legislation in 2009 saying that combined reporting would be the law of the land in 2011, but they didn't pass the implementing legislation or any implementing details. And at one point, the council said that they wanted to write those details into law. They didn't want the CFO to do it. But the legislation that said the council should set the rules was done under the prior DC council period, so that legislation really has expired. So the reality is, that's probably way too complicated, the reality is that the council should act, or the mayor should act, to do legislation that would implement combined reporting. I think in the absence of that, the CFO should just go forward and implement it as they see fit, that they have the authority to do that.
How much money are we talking about this bringing in additional revenue to the district?
Well, right now corporations are avoiding paying $23 million in taxes to the district because of the shelters that are allowed under current law. So closing those shelters would bring in $23 million a year in tax payments owed to the district from these large corporations.
And actually, I think I misspoke when I said additional revenue, because isn't it already written into the revenue projections that combined reporting that we'll be receiving this money? So if it's not implemented, it will add to the already $322 million deficit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to think about it is if we let these large corporations continue to avoid paying taxes to the district, then the mayor and the council have to do $23 million in taxes on D.C. residents or D.C. businesses, or $23 million more in spending cuts than they otherwise would have to do.
Jack Evans, Ward 2 council member, said, quote, "I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do it." Nawar Gandhi, chief financial officer, said, quote, "This legislation is a fair and equitable revenue source for the district. It is being adopted by many states," end quote. These are statements from two of the most prominent figures when it comes to the district's finances, who are not exactly prone to being, you know, antithetical to business. These are strong statements.
Yes, they are. I mean, they're a clear sign that we should be moving ahead. And the real question is, who is going to take the lead? Somebody has to be the grown-up here, either the mayor, the council, or the CFO. Because as I said, I think the CFO could act if they wanted to. They're deferring to the executive and the legislature, who's expressed an interest in writing the rules but hasn't done so yet. And Chairman Evans, as the head of the Finance Committee, could introduce legislation as well. He seems to be waiting for the executive branch, but you can't keep waiting for somebody else to do it. At some point, if it's going to happen, someone's going to have to take the leadership on this.
The absence of finding additional revenue leads to cuts in services. April 1st, TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, begins the process of, after 5 years, reducing payments. April 1st is also, I think, the day that D.C. General stops taking in families. And it's also the day that the budget is transmitted from the mayor to the D.C. Council. Any thoughts?
You know, the budget is in the mayor's hands right now. He has not made all his final decisions about how he's going to balance the budget, where he's going to cut and where he's going to raise revenue. So I think the pressure should be on the mayor to preserve services that keep the city stable and keep families stable. And certainly we should be getting revenue from large corporations that owe it to the district that are here and making profits. And we should think about other revenue increases as well if they help preserve services that matter to D.C. residents and that keep neighborhoods and families stable.
What about a tax on the highest income earners?
Certainly. Our current top income tax rate starts at $40,000 of taxable income. And we know that millionaires, that they pay about the same percentage of income in D.C. income taxes as much more moderate income families. So D.C. has a progressive income tax. It's just not that progressive. Certainly seems reasonable. And certainly what we're hearing from people that we talk to, that it would be reasonable to have one or more brackets for higher income families so that we have a higher tax rate for high income people than we do for middle income people.
Yesterday, D.C. Fiscal Policy Institute put out this statement on its blog. Families with children should not have to sleep on the streets or in a car or under a bridge. That's something nearly all D.C. residents would agree with. And until recently, it was something D.C. was able to keep from happening. A long-standing policy in the district has been to provide shelter to families if they had no safe place to stay. That changed over the past year, however. The combination of rising homelessness and reduced homeless services funding has left the Department of Human Services unable to maintain that commitment, end quote. These are not just numbers we're talking about. Without the adequate funding for these basic services, we're talking about whether families have shelter or not and many other critical services.
That's right. You know, when the mayor and council talk about the budget and they say we should have fiscal restraint and we should be fiscally conservative, what they're really saying is we shouldn't be providing these services. And that's, I mean, that when you talk about the budget, we should be talking about what it actually means for people. So the fact that our libraries and rec centers are not open on Sundays is because we don't have enough money to maintain and open them. We don't currently have enough money in the parks budget to operate summer programs, and they're scrambling to figure out how they're going to do that. And as you've noted and as we noted, we don't have enough money to house homeless families with children that we used to do when they had no place else to go. So when we're talking about fiscal restraint, what we really mean is we're cutting services that matter to people. And that's why we think it's important to focus on the human impact and to see about what services we can protect, whatever it takes to do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.